ever knowing who this person was. They held this man's computer at ransom. And I feel so bad about that even today. Don't want to talk about that anymore. KK4JBQ.
KL4DZS. Yes. Unfortunately, ransomware is a thing, but that's not the A word. I mean, it's really not fair to compare those two things. He got that because he opened up an email or something like that he shouldn't have, and that's why that happened. It wasn't because he told his personal assistant to change the television channel.
A penny or a pound, as the English say. Yeah. Oh, and that reminds me, talking about being someone that that neighbors and acquaintances go to for help. I had this lady. I sang in the choir at church, and she was a choir member, sang soprano, as I recall. She took me aside one Sunday afternoon after, you know, church was over, and she said, "Larry, you know some things about computer and email, right?" I says, "Well, yeah, I've been using it for a few years now. What's the problem?" She says, "Well, I keep getting these emails, and they're pages and pages long. I get emails from everybody who's ever been sent this email." And we got that straightened out, but she was beside herself because she'd ask for an update on her emails, and it would take a long time to download email. And maybe it was only half a dozen emails that she got, but she got these things that were pages long. You familiar with that? KK4JBQ.
Corporate America, so I get stuck in email chains all the time, but that's just, I mean, you know, even, you know, with group text and stuff, when people start sending out group text and you want to get out of it, you could remove yourself from those conversations. It's not that hard to do.
Not that hard to do, especially if it's automated. But she was requesting an email from a friend. And it just so happened that this email had passed through, you know, 30 people before the email from her friend. And what she received was everybody's response to this email, the whole chain. And we got it straightened out. I was a little surprised at how distressed she was, how long she had waited, you know, months and months of not knowing what to do about it. Well, maybe I should say that this was, oh, perhaps 10 years ago. So people are more sophisticated now, and maybe much of that has gone by the wayside. I should hope so. But who was it? Chevy Chase was in a movie. It was a comedy movie some years back called Modern Problems. And that was the title of the movie. And I think, not so much about the movie itself, I can't tell you what was in the movie, but the title of the movie, I that pops into my head quite a lot. Modern Problems. They're being created for us all the time. KK4JBQ.
Kilo Oscar 4 Delta Zulu Sierra. Yeah, keep in mind, I mean, people were having modern problems a millennia ago, you know. It was just a different version of modern problems. But yeah, that movie was funny. He's kind of a guy, you know, it's that time, taking the time frame of the movie. I think it was probably late 70s, early 80s that movie came out. And he was going through a separation from his, I don't know if it was his wife or whatever like that, and they were trying to get back together, but they were going to go to some vacation, and he gets behind some truck hauling nuclear waste, and it dumps nuclear waste all over him, and it gives him, like, weird powers, and in that, you know, slapstick Chevy Chase way, it really was kind of funny. And it was, I think, the same lady that did the vacation movies with him, whatever, I can't remember her name.
Name either, but, yeah, there was another, I don't know if he was acting in this, I can't remember the actress, this goes back a ways also, called Money Pit, a comedy. A young couple bought this piece of property, seriously, I think it was sight unseen. So they drive up to this property, and it was really, run down, disheveled. Came at a good price, though. So she got mad at him for making the decision to purchase this property. Now they're going to repair what needs to be repaired and, you know, make it livable. And it was indeed kind of slapstick, you know. The response to unbelievable stuff that they had to repair and the problems they had, floors falling through and, you know, and it did wind up to be a Money Pit, title of the movie. Do you recall that one and the actors that I'm forgetting?
Tom Hanks and Shelley Long, I'm not sure, but that movie was hilarious. I remember when that came out. I remember watching that with my girlfriend at the time. That was so funny. There was a point where he was like fell through the floor and he was stuck there, and she's just looking at him. And you know, they kept coming out. The plumber kept coming out. And all these people kept coming out. And he's just, and yeah, it was a big old mansion they bought trying to get out of the city into the country. But yeah, I'm not sure if it was Shelley Long. I thought it was, but I know it was Tom Hanks.
Occurred to me only because it rhymes. Goldie Hawn, I think, may have been the actress.
Googling it right now, it was Shelley Long and Tom Hanks.
So, I didn't have any memory, not any strong memory of it, obviously. Just that it was funny. Worth the time. If, again, anybody's out there in the weeds listening, you want to see a clean and hilarious and a movie that features Tom Hanks, that's enough for me. My wife and I were discussing movies that we liked and movies that were kind of unique. Tom Hanks has been in several of those. Castaway, I think, was one that I can never forget. Years and years ago, I was employed by the school district of the city of Pontiac, Michigan. I'd not been long in the state, and I've jumped at the chance to work for the school district. Well, sight unseen again, and but I didn't. I put my name in for employment with the school district, and I come to find out that I had signed up to work at a mental institution. This is in Michigan. This is some years back. And I learned about things about mental illness that I carry forward today. I was there for like that without it basically changing you. And that goes for anything that, you know, the average person is not that familiar with. Don and I were talking about those days and those times. And it's something you can put in your back pocket. There were traumatic experiences. I won't go into them here and now, but I won't even ask that you use your imagination, because it's beyond your imagination. I've just learned a great deal about impaired people, for whatever the impairment might be. We ran a school, and we didn't have, I guess we had, this was an institution for adults, so anyone less than 18 years old were in another kind of institution. They were all adults, but some of them had the mental ability of children, you know, and so they'd have to be taught a certain way, and others were quite with it, and yet they just acted out a lot, you know. So it was just a different day, every day of work. But I just have to say this. I wouldn't give it up. Getting to know the range of abilities that human beings can present—that was 2 years of life lessons. KK4JBQ.
Like you said, this is a KO4DZS. I couldn't imagine it. You're right. But I doubt I'd be able to handle it. You know, it's just, then again, it's why I chose the path I chose. Yeah, I can hold a fairly solitary life. I kind of like it, you know, and working with computers and controllers and stuff like that. Yeah, I can control my environment.
If you're comfortable there, I hope you get to stay there. There are times, however, and this, if it teaches you something about yourself, you share that with who knows how many people out there. You'll never know how many folks are carrying around the life experiences that are unique to them, and everything is, it's cross-patched in a way. There's no direct application one thing to another, perhaps maybe not one job to the other, but you use life experiences to get on with life, you know, they are your basic reference points. And everybody has them. It's unfortunate that there's not some way that we could all get here I am talking about way out in the future, I hope. We could download a set of life experiences that's generally known to be applicable and beneficial to the average human being, wherever you live and whatever you do. Wouldn't that be a nice little package? But life is harder than that. It's harder than that to acquire life experiences. Some people like to keep it simple. Please, oh please, just keep it simple. Other folks are really adventurous, and they just, they do things in their working life, and they do things in their, when they play, that you wouldn't find me having great fun on a zip line, for instance, or a bungee jump, you know, that's not me, risking my life on the end of a rope, nope, but that's an experience. While I have never had it, what I have is the aversion, and so I walk the other way. Maybe I don't have the joy that one might feel getting 2 feet away from the rocks beneath a bungee jump. You know, that's got to be some kind of thrill, right? Don't need it. I don't need it. Life can be thrilling in so many other ways. KK4JBQ.
Bye. Well, that's part of what makes us human. This is KO4DZS. You know, everybody likes different things. You know, we're not all the same. You know, everybody likes different stuff. That's what kind of makes it interesting.
And that's what makes each individual, to a great extent, maybe not in every case, but people are interesting to get to know. Tonight's conversation might be an example of that. People are, you know, for instance, Andy's gone now. He doesn't usually return after his medication. But Andy is an interesting person to know. Andy has a unique voice, and much like many of the other relationships I've had with people who are also hams, you talk to these people perhaps for years before you ever meet them. So you build this mental image of them, and Andy doesn't fit the mental image that I had. Andy is a tall drink of water. I mean, he is 6'2", maybe. And you can hear Andy from a distance because he speaks loudly and highly recognizable speech pattern. And so was at a ham fest once, the Anderson Ham Fest, a nice little ham fest here, happens down in the fall. Try to make it every chance I get. But I heard somebody talking, and I knew that was Andy, and I tried to pick him out. I tried to pick him up and pick him out. And finally, I did find him. He was facing away from me, and I go tap him on the shoulder. I knew it was Andy, but, you know, it could be any face that turns around to look at me. Suffice it to say that Andy and I are friends, and I guess he liked who he found, and I liked who I found. Andy is an interesting fellow. One of his real values to the ham community here is he has a memory. Oh, he has a memory for call signs. He learns your call sign, and he'll never forget it. And he can remember where you live and what net he heard you on first time and the date. So that's a unique ability. I'll forget this phone call tomorrow. Oh, phone call. I'll forget this QSO in a couple of days. And that's why I keep a log. I do keep a log, even of nets that I check into. It becomes kind of a history after a period of time, and interesting to keep up with. I'll let you imagine what you find out, you know, when you do that. But we're encouraged. I think the FCC encourages us to make a log. For years, I never saw any personal benefit from that. But now it serves. You know, I've kept a log for several years now, and it serves as a record, and I can look back. I can make notes in the log about things, you know, when somebody's birthday is. For instance, Eddie, who is probably the oldest member of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, on this repeater that we're talking on, every night at 9 o'clock, 100 years old, October 20th of this year. So right now, Eddie's 99. He's our senior member on this net. So, anyhow, records are kind of important. And if it's handwritten, which my log is handwritten, it's that much more personal, you know. I never learned to type. I came from the generation of males who didn't take typing in high school. Wasn't encouraged to. My brother, 3 years younger than me, when he finally got to the point where he could take a typing class. He had the right answer. He had the right, well, for him it worked. I asked him later, I said, how you doing in typing class? I was curious. I had no typing skills, never would, I guess, to this point. He said, I love typing class. All the girls are there. KK4JBQ.
Yeah, I wish I would have taken a typing class, too. I spent all day working on a computer, and half the time in my off time, like I said, I'm looking at a computer right now as we talk. And, my home office is set up right here with my work computer, personal computer, and all my ham radio gear right here, too. So, I'm on a computer a good chunk of every day, and I wish I would have taken the time. I've become a really good two-finger pecker. that's how I get through it. But I can appreciate that. But I heard Andy earlier on the Anderson net. I heard it. I hear him check in. Like you said, he has a recognizable voice. And I am a member of the Anderson Radio Club too, so yeah, it's a good club, and I enjoy going there. They usually do it in Darwin Wright Park, which if you lived here for a long time, they used to call that Anderson Beach.
I've heard that too, and it was only. This goes back maybe 10 years or so ago. It got that name because of falling water levels. Now, we've had quite a bit of rain here, and I don't know if you could really call it, I don't know if it has any beachfront left, you know, if the pool has filled up, so to speak. But it's a nice location, nice park, and just excellent people running that. That little ham fest. Unusual, you know. In a sense, it's not a ham fest you go because manufacturers are there, but that's kind of going away anyhow, even at major ones. Pardon me. But it is a place where you can go and someone will sell something out of their trunk. Or maybe they're giving away 7 years worth of QST or perhaps CQ magazine, you know. They've read them. They've got the good out of them. And a new person, I remember, I took a stack out of someone's trunk when they were free. And I learned a great deal because some of that information don't change. If you have any books on in your library, if your shack includes a library of antenna books, or this is where you keep your manuals for your equipment and all, my shack, except for the library, which is across the room, my shack is in 4 square feet, and that includes a Lazy Boy chair. The computer and the, I used to have two of them here, but the computer and the, and all that's necessary, to run this radio, it's all here. Patched through the house to the antenna right outside the door. It's convenient. I've been a ham for a dozen years or more, and I've never been able to get on HF because I live in an HOA. I guess that's a mouthful of alphabet soup, but you understood. HOAs are, well, when we moved here, I wasn't a ham. I'll put it that way. Hams do not move into HOAs. KK4JBQ.
With a way to hide the antenna, that's all. I mean, I'm sure you should be able to hide a, and you definitely hide a 20-meter antenna. You should be able to hide hot of 40 even. You know, it depends. I guess it depends on the actual situation. But yeah, I know. I live out in the country. I got a little bit of land behind me, so I got a couple. I got some wires and trees for my HF antennas. But you're talking about that, yeah. On this radio, this radio here, I just picked this one up. A new one because it's a mobile radio, but my old. I want to put one in my car, and so I needed to get one because I didn't want to have to move it. You know, this one's got Bluetooth, and it's got a Bluetooth head. I can put the Bluetooth headset in and go lay down on the couch and talk on the net. It's pretty cool. Now I'm not doing that. I'm at the computer at the radio right now, but boy, is that handy sometimes.
Here's something that I might be interested in, at least understanding the concept and how it gets the job done. Yeah. Well, my wife's a ham, too, but I'll have, you know, especially net participation that she's not that terribly interested in. And to tell you the truth, I think she's a ham because her dad passed away, and, you know, goodness, some 10 years ago now. And he was a ham. He was actually my first Elmer. And she took his call sign because, being a family member, she could. And because she needed to take an exam, she studied. And she still has a tech license. But she's got her dad's call sign. She's going to keep it up. And I respect her for that. But anyhow, she doesn't benefit from listening to my ranting on the radio. She hears enough of that when it's just her and me, you know. a concern that I have got to fix. I have just got to fix it. I'm experiencing right now. I'm using a mobile, too, a Kenwood TMV-71A. It's a nice little unit that I used to have in a vehicle, but it's serving just fine here. However, if you have to squeeze a microphone in order to talk, and you're probably aware by this point that I can be long-winded, I have to sign frequently or be aware that I should sign frequently. And my right hand is getting kind of numb by this point in our QSO. So, Bluetooth and a headset? You kidding me? That'd be cool. KK4JBQ.
This is KL4DZS. Yeah, it actually works pretty well, but, you know, This one's just an earpiece, so you got it in one ear, and you got to touch it. You push a button, and it's pushed to talk. Then you got to remember to push it back off again. But it works pretty well. I just, usually I'm sitting right here, but I was really there's a net on Thursday nights that's on that the Kink Tark people do, the Kiwi Taxiway people do, and I enjoy that Tech Talk net, and I Thursday's a work day for me, so I'm usually, and I'm at the office usually, so I'm out of the office at 6 a.m. and get home, and then by the time 10 o'clock rolls around, I'm like about done.
Oh, gracious, I was not aware. If I'm keeping you away from anything, you'll let me know. Anyhow, I can, I've been on this very net, as a matter of fact. I've participated in nets that go until up into 2 a.m. roundtables, sometimes involving half dozen people. That's something to keep up with. You know, nobody can see anybody else. Nobody can raise their hand. You just have to jump in. You have to honor the going around in a sequence that everybody should be able to remember, but, you know, people don't. That was fun for a while, but it's fun until people count on you being there, and then it's kind of an appointment, you know, another appointment to make each and every night. That's how we were handling this net. It wasn't a one night a week, which would have probably saved the thing. Don't know. But gracious, I can remember now that there's probably three people who were a part of that group who are Silent Keys now. Yeah. Well, we're all going to be Silent Keys one day. It's just that I guess I have more friends of mine, people I call friends, who are hams than any other. And I've already accumulated in a dozen years, I've accumulated quite a few I miss a lot of people already. KK4JBQ.
Oscar 4 Delta Zulu Sierra. Yeah, I wasn't saying anything about tonight. No, that's usually Thursdays, like I said, when I'm at the office early, and then we do that night, that net at night. And I usually like to join in on that one. And he has like a tech round table, which is kind of fun. But I know. I'm a new ham. Like I said, I've only been a ham for about 4 years now, but I do enjoy it. I really do. I enjoy the technology. I enjoy making stuff, you know, making antennas and trying to make this and that work, and that's the fun part for me.
You make a good point there. I suppose a person would be able to, and without having a great number of resources or unending resources, you could put together a small station, and it'd work for you. But hams, as I have observed, are people who want to improve all the time. They want to change up. Oh, you got an antenna that works? Well, yeah, okay, fine. I got one that works too, but I want to learn more. And that's the kind of ham who has the real spirit, you know. They want to take the one down that works and put up something that might work a little different, or it might be more broadbanded, or can take you all the way from 6 meters to 80 meters or something like that. So the experiment, and that can be a lot of fun, and it can be the major, it can account for most of the time that you spend in the hobby, to tell you the truth. And I'm antenna restricted here, and it's a fairly, it's not so much that I could call it a very restricted, we're just not supposed to have any visible antennas. Now, ordinarily, there might be some places where you could squeak in something that's not quite visible. But there aren't any tall trees here. There are no overhead power lines because all the utilities are underground here. So your antenna can't be in and amongst other, you wouldn't want power lines anyway, right? But it can't be, it's just highly identifiable. You look up in the air, and if there's any wire in the air, people are going to know. And there are HOA police here who walk around. They make it their business to keep the sky clean. And, you know, if they ever really need, if there ever is really a need in this community for emergency communications, I'm your guy. As far as I know, I'm the only ham here, and there's over 300 people in this HOA. So I'm just waiting my time. I'll be of service if the opportunity ever comes by. But that really doesn't matter to the HOA. And now, as I might have explained earlier, I was not a ham when I moved here. So what is called covenants and some covenants, well, that's enough. That's a Bible word, covenant. And they think of it just as seriously as if it were Bible. you sign that, you know, you're aware that if you break any of these covenants, they will bring suit and take your home away. I don't care if you're still paying your mortgage or if it's yours, quote unquote. They have that kind of power. And this is why hams do not locate in HOAs. It's just too much friction that could occur, and we're not here for that. We're not here to cause any problems. We're here to alleviate problems, if anything. So anyhow, I have to be careful about what I put in the air, and I'm not so fond of putting it up, taking it down, putting it up, taking it down. I kind of like what I got going on right now is an antenna that doesn't look like an antenna. The 2-meter antenna, I'm saying. It does not look like an antenna. It's only about 6.5 feet tall. So it doesn't go over the top of the roof of the house. That could be real trouble because you could see that on the street side of the house. It is on the back side. So it's been there for several years. If anybody has a problem with it, they're going to have a problem with me. I'm sorry. It is not causing any trouble. And this station is emergency powered. I could, you know, everybody in here could lose power, and I'd still be the person to, you know, the most catastrophic thing. Of course, everybody loses power and the cell tower, you know. And you're reduced to sticking your head out a window and yelling to communicate. Well, we have an answer for that. And I hope we never get to a point where we're needed to that extent. But it doesn't take a complete collapse of civilization for that need to arise. All it would take is, you know, 60-mile-an-hour straight-line winds. And while utilities are underground, that causes a problem. Otherwise, a problem. So communications may be disrupted for a time. Anyway, every ham knows we're here if the very worst happens. KK4JBQ.
4JBQ, this is KO4DZS. Yeah, I've heard the stories. Trust me, there's all sorts of... That's a huge topic among the ham community is HOAs. A lot of people open their attics, too, and it seems to work fairly well for them, like especially for, like, 20 meters and 40 meters and stuff. But I'm probably going to have to jump off because I got a cat that I got to give his medicine to, and it's about that time, and I'm getting ready to go to bed myself. So it's really nice talking to you, and, I'm sure I'll talk to you again. I listen to this repeater quite a bit. And I try to check in a couple times a week, but this is KO4DZS. But I am probably going to have to take off, and so I'm going to be clear after this.
DZS. I just made it bog. Was I speaking or not? KK4JBQ. I just made a note of my log of your call sign, but I don't, if you gave your name, you don't have to, of course, but if you gave your name, I did not catch it. Maybe you can help me there, and I'll log this QSO. Been a pleasure, a real pleasure, and I do understand about the ticking clock. In the past, I have also been a watchmaker, and I'm very familiar with ticking clocks of all kinds. Have yourself a good evening, and maybe you can come back with your name. KK4JBQ, I'll be clear on your final.
This is a Kilo Oscar 4 Delta Zulu Sierra. The name is Scott. And yeah, I got one of those clocks. I got an old grandfather clock that was my father's. It sits right behind me here. It still kind of works. Doesn't dong on the hour like it should, but it does make a noise, but it doesn't quite work. But it does good enough for, I guess, you know, I think it's a little bit older than me, so it's doing pretty good. But yeah, this is KO4DZS. Name is Scott. I'm in Pendleton. And enjoyed talking to you, but I am going to have to run because I got to do a few things around the house here before I go to bed. And I'll say 73 to you, and I shall be clear.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And I'm going to try your call sign phonetically, the way I have it written down. You just verify that if you might. Kilo Oscar 4 Delta Zulu Sierra. Am I correct?
Hello, Oscar 4, Delta Zulu Sierra.
Have yourself a good night's rest, and we'll talk later. KK4JBQ, clear.